This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen. New True Niagen Pro contains a unique form of vitamin B3, clinically proven to safely increase NAD, which is a vital resource used every day to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. NAD is critical for energy and cellular repair and supports muscle function. But as we age, NAD has been found to decline up to 50%. True Niagen Pro is clinically proven to safely increase NAD levels, caring for your cells to help you age better and live better. True Niagen Pro is only available through healthcare practitioners. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com to get yours. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest is Isadora Guggenheim. She's an MD, an RN, and nutritionist, and her practice is at secondnaturecare.com. You can get information about them. They're in just north of, within cycling distance of New York City, because I know I've cycled that beautiful scenic route in Rockland County. And we're focusing on ozone therapy. Ozone therapy is not O2, it's O3, three oxygens. And three oxygens could be administered in a variety of ways, as we described in part one. Can you talk about some of the patients that you're seeing and, you know, perhaps give us some case studies on how ozone therapy can be used in certain representative conditions? Yeah.
Okay, so we have, I'll use one example of a patient who walked in with acute sarcoidosis, which is a very, they don't know the underlying etiology or what caused it.
Tough disease to treat, yeah.
Tough disease to treat, yeah. And I was really a little nervous because I thought, well, this guy needs, really, we need to just call an ambulance. But we gave him a short time. We said, look, we'll do a couple sessions with you because this is someone who refused the steroid treatment, which is standard, and the antibiotic treatment. Well, within six sessions, we did ozone and we also did some biologics in there. And he was disabled from work. But after the treatment, he was reabled. We were doing MA. We were ozonating 750 milliliters. His gamma started low. I think we started at 40 and worked up to 70 as he got better. He changed his diet for that period of time. He went on a very strict vegan diet, which was helpful for him. I'm not saying that's for everyone. Mm-hmm. And we removed anything that we thought caused an inflammatory fire. We also had him on, you know, high doses of CoQ10 on an oral protocol. We had him on high doses of curcumin and things like that, just to bring down whatever the fire was. And I run very comprehensive labs on everyone, you know, looking for whatever pathogen might be behind, whether it's toxic mold or it might be Epstein-Barr or it could be anything from toxoplasmosis to CMV.
And with sarcoid, to describe it, it's a granulomatous disease. It's akin to tuberculosis, but they have not been successful at finding a specific pathogen. They can't find the bug. That if there is a bug that causes sarcoidosis, so antibiotic therapy is kind of a shot in the dark. There's some suspicion that
it is a shot in the dark. And, yeah. I mean, the hospitals, they're trying to do the best that they can, you know, with whatever it is, you know. But this one, for some reason, and I use specific remedies that would go to his lung tissue. One was called bronchozoites, and also his Krebs cycle was totally knocked out. And ozone activates the Krebs cycle by enhancing the oxidative carboxylation of pyruvate, and so it stimulates the production of ATP.
And the idea, just if I can interject, is that when you have a messed up Krebs cycle, your mitochondria aren't working, and you revert to what's called anaerobic metabolism, which is kind of a primitive metabolism of the fermentive metabolism through lack of, basically lack of oxygen. So I guess by putting in more oxygen impetus, perhaps you can jumpstart the more efficient mitochondrial utilization of oxygen that generates more energy.
Exactly. And every chronic disease, as a common denominator, every chronic disease, you could say, has mitochondrial damage. has some effect on the Krebs cycle. And it also has a common denominator of oxygen deficiency. So when we do even a pulse ox on people who are ill, you know, their pulse ox could be as low as 86, which is very low, and even 92. By the time
it's just that little thing, the device you put on your finger to see if you're oxygenating, it's a really neat little device, and it tells you if you're actually putting oxygen through your bloodstream.
Exactly. So even with the Boston Marathoner this morning, his pulse ox was like 97 initially, and after treatment it jumped up right to 98, and his heart rate went down from, he was at 57 and he went down to 52. So you can even get some, you get immediacy with this. It also causes a significant reduction in NADH, and it helps to oxidize cytochrome C. So once you do that, there's a stimulation of production of enzymes which act as a free radical scavenger and cell wall protector. So glutathione, peroxidase, catalase, superoxide dismutase, those all come into play. And also all the pro-inflammatory, so there's those pathways that, like, there's a thing called LPS, the polylipo-saccharide, so you can get inflammation from eating food or doing different things. And what ozone does is it cuts off that whole pathway so that you don't have pro-inflammatory chemical messengers. You don't have the pro-inflammatory interleukins that, you know, raise tumor necrosis factor or interleukin 2. And you cut off that whole immunological reaction, which is great because you stop inflammation dead in its tracks.
The German doctor that I visited, who was a big proponent of ozone therapy, you know, like many Germans, he was a bon vivant, you know, liked to drink a lot of beer. We had a lot of beers together. And he said that his morning routine, especially if he, you know, had a few too many the night before, was to take ozone. And he said that it had real mood-enhancing effects, that it was something that was really energizing and brain fog-clearing. Can you speak to that?
Yes, exactly. We found out about that when we were first doing it. We were doing it by a different method before we had the advanced equipment. But we had a patient who was on and well-prescribed antidepressants. And then when I did all of her lab work, she had a raging Epstein-Barr infection, IgM. Once we took care of that infection, and
there's a viral infection,
A viral infection, yes, mono. As she took care of that infection and we got that down to zero in IgM, her moods improved significantly, and she actually could go, she went off and still is off now 5 years later of her antidepressants. So the depression was caused by the viral load, not that she really had, you know, a depressive personality.
You know, quite honestly, one of the reasons I used ozone therapy back in the 80s is that we were in New York City and we were in the midst of the AIDS epidemic. And there was a lot of particularly young men, but also women, who were HIV positive. And this is before the advent of the drugs. So there was virtually nothing that could be done for them. And they were just, you know, getting sick and dying in droves. And so ozone had at least the potential prospect of being antiviral. And so we administered antiviral therapy with some degree of success. And actually, I took some of our results to the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, met with Anthony Fauci, who was then head of infectious disease. Now he's head of the NIH. And we presented it, and he just said, it's like, that's very interesting. Thank you for coming.
What a lost opportunity.
Right.
Because what you did in your groundbreaking, and the Canadian authorities authorized the study to test the safety and efficacy of it in the 80s with AIDS patients, and it showed real promise with in vitro testing.
In vitro. But
Then also in vivo, too.
So that's really the crunch, because I think you can pretty much, in fact, this was once proposed, is that, you know, the blood supply is very risky, and especially before we identified HIV and hepatitis, you know, that's how people were getting very sick. And so one of the proposed ways of treating blood was by ozonating blood. So what became of that? How come that never became standard therapy? Because we clean up swimming pools and disinfect them. Why not blood? Was there a reason?
Exactly. Well, I can tell you one story I know. I don't know if you know Dr. Fry Labs. So he does a DNA sequencing to find out, because I wanted to find out what was left in the iSET. You know, did this, what the particles that were left, whether they were protozoan or whatever, or viral load, did it correlate and confirm the diagnosis of the patient? But he said he met with the American Red Cross.
Right.
And he described what he was finding in everyone's blood sample. Well, they got up and left the table. So that discussion was over. And just to let people know that there are many states that don't even test for Lyme or Bartonella or Babesiosis.
Which can be transmitted via blood transfusion, no question.
Which can be transmitted, yes. So, you know, we have to figure this out because it's a huge liability and an issue that could be addressed. But I agree. I thought that every blood drive, and even at the expense of it, all the blood should be ozonated and then stored.
Yeah, I mean, is there some technical obstacle that in some ways it can...
Money.
Yeah, I mean, quite possibly.
Money.
Because
yeah,
it's something that may not be monetizable because it's it's a natural substance. And, you know, I guess some company can patent a machine that does it, but there's dozens of companies that make ozonating machines.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, maybe that's an obstacle to the universal acceptance of ozonation as a way of purifying blood. I don't know the inside story. Maybe somebody among my student listeners does, but it certainly could make sense because it's a potent antiviral, antibacterial, anti-spirochete, and so on.
Yes. And since we don't even know, there are viruses out there. I have a patient right now who tests. She's even testing positive for brucellosis, which is a very, very critical and dangerous disease, and it can even be used for bioterrorism. But it's because it's not that she has brucellosis, she has another virus. But the virus that she has, we don't even have a testing measure for it.
It so cross-reacts and creates a...
It cross-reacts,
yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
And so then her rheumatoid arthritis factor is lighting up positive.
Yeah.
And her EBV is only IgM, not IgG, so it's showing she's not able to make any antibodies because of this cross-reactivity. So it's fascinating to me. If I had to do it over again, I'd probably go into immunology. Mm-hmm. But there's always a virus that we don't even have a test for. Remember, we didn't have
question.
Zika,
that's why some people,
Ebola.
That's why sometimes when people say, well, I think I have a virus. Can you test me for every conceivable virus that you can?
No.
And first of all, it would cost a fortune. You know, we could test for 40 things, but, you know, there are literally hundreds, perhaps thousands of things, and maybe they're just uncharted. You know, it's a little bit like the year 1300, you know, the early maps of the world, you know, that were geographically inaccurate because we just didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't really mapped the viral ocean floor, as it were. There's always going to be something new, and there's always going to be a mutation, whether it's a mutation naturally or it's a mutation from the treatment that we use. However, ozone has no resistance, so it's a real player in, like, MRSA.
It's a very broad,
broad
spectrum kind of
broad
treatment.
Broad spectrum.
Yeah.
There's no receptors, and there's no resistance. So,
okay, so
the other thing... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, one other... application of ozone that we tried for some patients with infections would receive intravenous ozone, but also bag ozone. We put an infected wound, we would put an ozone bag and occlude it, and then we would and there was a little less concern about high concentrations of ozone because it was contained within the bag, and we would use the ozone as a disinfectant and that seemed to be a very promising area. What became of that?
It's still going on. I mean, even at Harvard, they also use maggots and leeches. So, but ozone bag limbing, we do that as well. And you can, I mean, I've seen gashes and wounds that recover within a day. There's also ozone cream, and there's some very good
ozonated oil, right?
And ozonated oil, yeah, and it's all organic. And actually, a friend of mine is the CEO of one of the companies, and they got certified organic from Switzerland, and they're very good. And they're able to impregnate the ozone into the organic oils by, 700%.
Right, and what makes you think that it really does work is that the oil smells like ozone. Ozone has that kind of clean sort of mountain or beachy smell. It's, you get ozone in certain natural environments. Of course, around electrical equipment, you get ozone. But it has sort of a fresh smell, that at low concentrations is okay. But, you know, you've got to have, probably some, oversight by Occupational Safety and Health Administration, because too much ozone released into the air in your office, that's not good to breathe, right? So how do you prevent that?
No, you can be shut down for that. That's why you have to have an ozone destructor, which has charcoal in it, and we do on all pieces of equipment so that you're not breathing it in. That is a very important point and a safety feature for sure.
Okay, so see, it sounds like, you know, it's an area that is researched, and there are safety concerns that are being addressed. It can be done in a controlled fashion. It's one of those panacea therapies where, you know, it's got a broad applicability to infectious diseases, cancer, autoimmunity. And then there's that general sort of elixir property that ozone has. It's a little less clear why that works, but some people really get a boost from ozone, you know, for athletic performance and for mood.
Exactly. And it's also in the literature as a treatment to reverse type 2 diabetes. It's also in the literature to reverse cardiovascular disease. You're going to always improve ejection fraction and things like that, you know, heart, blood flow to the heart. I have patients who might have some occlusions, or it looks like they're forming plaque by the markers that we've tested. And after ozone, those things can clear with the proper treatment. We do ozone chelation for heavy metals.
What's it say? Ozone, and then you do followed by chelation? Is that how it works?
Yes, yes. You always do the ozone first, then chelation. And chelation normally was, you know, as you probably know, they recommend like 30 to 40 treatments. Well, I've been able to supercharge that and save patient money because we can get done in 12 treatments what is normally done in 40. So I've presented those cases around the country.
Maybe you get some more vasodilation, better circulation during the ozone, during the chelation treatment, and maybe you get more bang for your buck.
Yes, it enhances the whole process of detoxification and liberating those metals out of tissue storage to clear those from the body. And, you know, it also is very helpful for people who have genomic impairment. So maybe their MTHFR is impaired, or their SOD or a GSH, or maybe COMT. Mm-hmm. And ozone is also very helpful with people who have the vulnerability genomically that they may be more at risk for contracting a disease.
Mm-hmm. Well, you sound very well informed because you know, you're not a one note Charlie. It sounds like you do this as part of a comprehensive treatment plan, because anyone who just relies on one modality, I think they're missing out. You'd have to take a comprehensive approach.
Chance.
Yeah. I wanted to, you know, while I have you, I wanted to touch base with you about a type of therapy that we had a question about, and I answered as best as I could, but I have no direct experience with it. A woman emailed us a question, and we answered as best we could on our weekly Q&A on laser vaginal rejuvenation, which is something that you're certified in. It's actually, it's got a name, a registered trademark, the Mona Lisa Touch Micro Laser Vaginal Rejuvenation Procedure, which is FDA approved for postmenopausal women and breast cancer survivors. So can you give us a little bit of a rundown on that? I don't expect, you know, full
It's great, you know, because it's hormone-free. So it's hormone-free, and that's why women who are breast cancer survivors can use it safely.
So, because typically women who have vaginal dryness, they said, just use some Estrace, you know, Estrace cream, you know. Right, and which is not going to be good.
That doesn't raise the risk of cancer, but for people who are very afraid of any kind of hormone replacement.
It's actually been proven relatively safe, even if you've had cancer, but, you know, there are certain concerns some people really want to stay away from anything resembling estrogen stimulation.
Exactly. So it's a CO2 laser. It's a really neat machine, and then that just goes into the vagina. There's a specific technique with it, turning it clockwise and then counterclockwise. But basically what it does, it stimulates stem cells, fibroblasts, and proteoglycans. So because it stimulates regeneration of new tissue, you have the better lubrication.
Okay.
And you do three treatments 6 weeks apart, and then you can do, like you would take your car for a tune-up, you then go in every year just for a tune-up.
Okay. So, you know, when I hear about this, I go back to a movie, Goldfinger, you know, the James Bond movie.
Yeah.
That I grew up with. You know, I was a kid. I was like 11 years old, I think, when it came out. And they have James Bond on the table strapped down, and there's this laser that's pointed somewhere between his legs, and it's advancing menacingly towards his nether parts. And James Bond looks up and asks Goldfinger, he said, "Goldfinger, do you want me to talk?" And Goldfinger says, "No, Mr. Bond, I want you to die." And so it's nothing as harmful, dangerous, burning.
No, not at all. Yeah, no. There's, in fact, it's not dangerous at all. And most women don't have any side effects from it. They might have a slight irritation. Give them an Aquaphor cream to put on, if you know, because most of them have very thin tissue because of aging or because they don't have hormones. So if the tissue is rather thin, then they might have just a slight irritation, but that heals very quickly.
Okay, well, thanks for clearing that up, because that was a question that, you know, the questions like that do arise, and these are modalities that are out there and can be of help to some women who are suffering from age-related vaginal dryness, pain on sexual intercourse, and it's important to restore optimal vaginal tissue resiliency with whatever methods we can arrive at. So, all right, well, let's give out the information once again. It's Second Nature Care, and the website is secondnaturecare, one word, .com.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. And we're living longer, so we have, you know, we have new problems. That's why, you know, with the aging process. But ozone is definitely an anti-aging therapy.
All right. Well, thanks for bringing us up to speed on a subject that you don't often too often hear about, but I think it's important for our audience to learn about it. That's Isadora Guggenheim. She's a naturopathic physician, RN, and nutritionist up at Second Nature Care, which is in Nyack, New York. Thanks very much for joining us today, Isadora.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you happen to be on a weight loss regimen, studies show that as fat cells shrink, they release stored toxins into the system that can actually poison metabolic pathways and slow your metabolism, causing your weight to plateau even in the face of stringent diet adherence. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol, a collection of carefully curated supplements to mobilize toxin elimination, easing the blahs that sometimes compromise your dietary resolve. The Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol is an easy way to get the exact combination of the targeted nutrients you need. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information and to purchase. Plus, you'll find easy-to-follow links to our heart health and immunity protocols and much more. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.